So, man, I've missed you guys. I have missed you a lot since the last time I saw you became a senior citizen. I don't even know what to think about that. But I guess it's just time, right? I'm still the same old guy on the inside and an older guy on the outside. And I had my 10th grandchild since the last time I saw you. That was last week. So that was pretty awesome. And next weekend, Micah, who was standing right here singing, he and his lovely wife and my 9th grandchild, Fisher, are flying to Guyana for a month to bring home my 11th grandchild. So, wow, lots going on. But you know what? I really missed you. It was really hard to be gone. I liked it, but I didn't like it. You have to understand what I mean by that. We have some dear visitors from some of our other locations that decided to try out on Friday night, and I want them to know it was special to be with them, but I missed you rockers a lot. You're always in my heart, and I pray for you every day, every day. And many of you, the needs, the special needs that are going on in your life, I lift them up every day to the Lord. And if you ever have something you'd like me to pray for you, just send me an email, mark@rockthechurch.com, and I will try to add that to my list. I also wanted to highlight this compassion project thing that we're doing, okay? We'd really like, we've set a goal, we're praying for it, that every adult or family, so every single and couple, would try to sponsor adopt one child. One child. You know, I've traveled over 24 times to Honduras. And I'm telling you, you will see things there that will sort of blow your mind. If you've never been in a third world country in the world, you'll see little children like these down here and our little children here. You'll see them, many of them naked, playing in the street. You'll pull up to the busiest intersection in this entire city. Not a highway, but a busy intersection with thousands of cars. And while everyone's stopped, all these little kids will rush to the windows and they will knock on your windows begging for money. It's unbelievable. You'll go to the side of the hills, you'll be driving, and you'll see blue plastic tarps. You'll see little, when I was a kid, we'd go into the woods and we'd take little sticks and make a fort. There are thousands of people and children that live in those little twig forts. And they'll walk along the sidewalk and they'll have a little plastic bag, you know, the kind we get from Target. They'll save them, and that's what they'll carry. They'll take machetes, and they'll go up to someone who's maybe a middle-class person. There's such a disparity in Honduras because, really, the corruption of the government, really. And they will cut the lawn with machetes, a few blades of grass at a time. You make a significant difference. You're $38 a month. That little child will get the opportunity to come to know Christ. And literally, Compassion International, they've seen hundreds of thousands of children come to know the Lord. And they grow up, many of them grow up in the faith and continue to follow the Lord. It helps them with their health care. It helps them with their education. And sets them on a path of life they could never be on. Never forget, I've told you this before, never forget there's not one of us in this room that deserved to be born in this country. Not one of us. I have no idea whatsoever why God allowed me to be born here. But to whom much is given, much is required. Never forget the passage that Jesus said, give, and it should be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And I've seen that in my life in the 41 years of following Christ. As I just give to others, God has given back to me so much. So anyway, just pray about that. If you would, you can go to CompassionInternational.com or .org, either one. I think it's .com, and you can sign up right there online. Also, we have some special visitors tonight. We have visitors from India, from Ghana, from Saudi Arabia, from all around the world, many places. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's a joy to have you, and I hope that you get something from our time here this evening. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer, and then I have a special message that's been on ruminating in the crock pot of my heart for the last 3 months. Father, I just bless you tonight, Lord, for every person that's here. Every child, every man, every woman, every family, every couple, every single, every student. God, thank you for the visitors we have here tonight that you brought from around the world. Thank you, Lord, then in Jesus Christ, when we come to know you, we're one. We're family. It does not matter where we're from, what our ethnicity or our background, but we are children of the living God and brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. God, how I praise you for the love and the kindness of God. And Lord, tonight, we just thank you for the air we had to breathe today and the blood flowing through our veins and the heart that we did nothing to deserve that pumped that blood. Thank you for the eyes and the ears that we could see and the senses with which we can experience the evidence of the living God every day in our life. Tonight, Lord, speak to us, I pray. I really believe that you want to teach us something tonight and you want to give us an entirely different perspective in life. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if you're a note taker, I have 10 grandchildren here tonight. Some of them are sitting in the audience, and they take notes. Can you believe that? They take notes. My little 9-year-old, 10-year-old, and 7-year-old grandson, they come up to me, take notes, and there's some other kids that do the same. So if you're taking notes, the message is entitled, The Self-Sabotaging Life. The Self-Sabotaging Life. I want to talk to you tonight about rebooting your expectations of God, life, and church. Reboot. You know what a reboot is? It's a computer term. Your computer, you know, it's getting attacked every day. I don't know if you knew that. There's these evil, wicked, terrible, awful people out there, and they devise this junk, and they send it over the broadband all the time, and it's coming at your computer, and then you go to, you know, you go read a news story, cookies. They attach all this spyware crap. And the next thing you know, your computer's like sluggish, like you're walking through mud and it doesn't quite work. And my wife recently was given an iPad and she's not real techno savvy. And I told her, now, honey, listen to me. I ran in from my office the other day. My office is in the garage. I have an office in the garage. So I ran in and says, Kathy, your dad, he just sent an email. It's not from your dad. Do not click on it. Because, you know, you open it and it says, hey, I think you really like this. And then big purple letter says, click here. Do not click that. Do not click that. I never click on that. Don't be offended. If I don't know you, I won't click on it. If you send an attachment, I won't click on it. Because I have been infected. It's no fun, is it? When your old computer just crashes and you're like, you want to take a hammer. And you know, one time I did that. It's a beautiful feeling. I just got to tell you, you ever want to feel really good? It's really good. So this computer was just crashing on me. So I put on some goggles. Kids, you listen to this. Try this at home. And I got like 4 big plastic bags so the garbage man didn't know what was in it. And then I took a hammer and I beat it. Dumb old computer, you'll never hurt me again. Bow! It felt so wonderful. Then I dumped it in the trash. I pulled all the wires apart with wire cutters. I was snipping the life right out of it. Anyway, you don't want to get a virus. Just let me put it that way. You don't want a virus. They're bad. You know what happens? We get viruses spiritually. And one of the most deadly spiritual viruses, I want to talk to you about this, listen, is unrealistic expectations, the devil's big destructive trap. The deadly virus of unrealistic, selfish expectations on church, on God, and on our brothers and sisters sitting next to us in a small group with us. And I want to talk with you about this tonight. We're going to look at a scripture passage in just a moment, but I just want to walk you through a couple things. Here's what I've observed. Now, I've been doing this a long time, okay? So I'm a guy who thinks. I'm a guy who makes observations. I stay informed. I read. Number one thing I read and think about is the Word of God. But I read. I read different news things, articles that come across my desk. I keep track of what's going on. For example, the average car payment in America, get this. You think you can't afford a little child? $503 a month. That's the average. The average. The average person is paying $30,000 for a car right now on a 7-year loan. Wow. By the time you get done, if you multiply that, that's $45,000. My friends, boy, we think highly of ourselves. $503. Smartphone. You know, oh my, I can tell you so many stories, so many facts that I keep my finger. But let me tell you this. Here's what I've observed. We expect today in America, I see this, it's a disease in Christianity. We expect the church to be an all-inclusive spiritual business that caters to and fulfills my every expectation, or I'm going to look somewhere else. Because there'll be a big one out there that will do it somehow. We must all be acutely aware of how this culture has affected us and how the devil has manipulated the culture in order to also deceive and manipulate the Christians. Now listen to this one. The church is not Amazon.com. And I am not Jeff Bezos. That's obvious, I have hair. See how informed I am? You didn't know that Jeff Bezos was bald. He's bald. And he's very rich. Who cares? I'm very rich in heaven. I'm taking mine with me. He's not. But Amazon.com, what you don't begin to realize is setting your expectations for everything, one place, whenever I want it, and fast. Because now there's Amazon Prime. And with Amazon Prime in Eagan, you can get anything you want, groceries delivered to my front door in 1 hour. In nice big brown sacks. So my daughter, who's had a new baby, and she was hit by a drunk driver, so it's a little difficult for her to get out sometimes. She will call Amazon Prime. They will drop at my front door. Bing, they ring the doorbell. Dad gets it, Grandpa and Dad. And I walk into the van. I set it there, and it's ready for Kathy to take over and deliver. You want to find a shower head? Go to Amazon.com. You want a bike? Go to Amazon.com. And we expect that the church... We've started to expect the church is a business. It is not a business. It's a family. No, it's a business. And it ought to have this program and that program. And it ought to do this for me. And it ought to have that for me. And wow, and it better do it quick. And it better do it good. Because if it doesn't, doggone it, if you don't have pinball machines and a coffee shop out there in the foyer, and if you don't have big screens for all your teen group and the hottest thing going on in the world, I mean, well, I'm going to look somewhere else. We live in a day of celebrity Christianity. You won't find that here. You won't find it in the Word of God. You won't find it in the Word of God. And we need to step back, and we need to reevaluate and ask our question, Lord, how has the culture affected and infected my views and my perspectives of church? The culture, this culture, is used to getting anything we want. And it has impacted our expectations of church. We expect the church to be like a business that caters to our needs and competes for our dollar and our attention. We expect the music to wow us, like I gotta feel it, like right here, as if I'm at a Coldplay concert. And so you've got churches that are now imitating that. And there's fog, and it's just this incredible emotional experience. And you ask yourself the question, is that really what I'm supposed to expect? Think about this one for a moment. Here's the one that's really been really just smacking me. We come to church and we want to conjure God as if it's a magic show. Like, I came here tonight, I just experienced God. Just Holy Spirit, just roll over me. Guess what? When two or three are gathered together, he's already here. He's here. He's here. And you know how he's seen among us? Do you know what 1 John says? None of us have seen God, but he is seen among us as we love one another. As we love one another. Wow. I'm going to talk a little bit about this tonight. As we love one another. But somehow, we just think it's like this spiritual magic show, and tonight we'll just conjure God. I could no more conjure God than I could conjure anything. He's here. He lives already inside of you. If you're not experiencing God in your life and you have the Holy Spirit and you know Jesus, I feel sorry for you. But you got to learn to walk in obedience to God. And as you walk in obedience to God, you will experience greater and greater joy and meaning in your life, but we don't live by our feelings. My gosh, the flesh is up and down all the time, right? It's just up and down. We follow God. We follow his truth. And we want to have this just this incredible emotional experience every time we come to a service. Let me ask you this question. Ask yourself this. Did I come here tonight to learn something? That's the question. Did I come to learn something? God, teach me tonight and speak to my heart. I want to learn something. Wow, God will always speak to the person who's eager to learn something. I promise you, listen, if you want, if you're interested, if I can prove it to you, I can't. But I have a website. It's called strongdisciple.com. 30 years of messages are on there. And I guarantee you, pick any one of them and you'll learn something if you have the right heart and attitude. I promise you, you will learn something for your life, for your marriage, for your faith. Practical wisdom in living, you'll learn something. Do you want to learn? We don't think about that very often. We often sit back and we sort of sit as a critic upon the service rather than, Lord, I'm just here to participate. I'm here to encourage those around me. I'm here to greet my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I want to listen and hear. I want to learn. Go on here, and then we're going to get to a scripture passage that I really want to ponder with you tonight. Many children, kids, in our culture today expect every meal at home to be like Chipotle or Smash Brother Burger or Noodles and Company. Do you realize that? Do you understand how many times Americans eat out? Go Google that. I'm not going to tell you. Go Google that one. We are a nation of spoiled children. I was telling Kathy one day, well, you know, I shop at Costco, Aldi, and Trader Joe's, and I get the same things from each one. And for Kathy, they have this rotisserie deli sliced chicken breast. So that's one of the ways she gets her protein. So I get her that. And one day I was telling her, I said, you know, Kathy, get this. Now, I realize now I'm an old guy. I don't feel old, but I'm an old guy. I got a little vigor, but I'm an old guy. I'm 60, right? My whole life growing up, we never had deli chicken breast, deli ham, or deli turkey. We had bologna sandwiches. Yeah, bologna. Try that one. I don't even know if you can find bologna anymore. And when mom wanted to get really special, it was fried bologna. She'd take a frying pan, she'd cut a little line in the middle, cut a little fine, it would wrinkle up, and she'd make toast, put a little mustard on for Marky. It was great. Fried bologna sandwich. And I'm a happy guy. The constant eating out sabotages mom's efforts to simply provide a simple home-cooked meal because she can never live up to her kids' expectations. Coffee, okay, don't take it personal. We're so hooked on Starbucks and Caribou that the thought of a simple cup of coffee made at home seems totally unacceptable to us. You ever thought about that? I mean, it does. I know people who say, I can't live without my Starbucks. Let's talk. Call me up. You need some Mark therapy. And I'm free. Just call me up. Now, this one, I'd be a little careful because I have children in the room tonight, but I want to touch on it because it's really significant. Physical intimacy with your wife. I have counseled with so many couples, the wife feels so much incredible pressure because she knows that her husband sees all these women online and she has to measure up to them and perform or he's discontent and unsatisfied. And that's one of the great, great, great devastating impacts of pornography. It will destroy your marriage. And your wife can never measure up to what's stuck in your brain and in your mind. It's so destructive. It's so destructive. And it's tremendously disheartening to the person that you promised the rest of your life to be with. And it destroys what you could really have, the real thing. It destroys it. The self-sabotaging life of unrealistic expectations that we feed and we expect and we feed and we expect. The church is not meant to be like these things. The church is like a family. Mom makes PB&J sandwiches for lunch and the kids wear hand-me-downs. What's wrong with hand-me-downs? Tonight, my wife, Bless her heart. I love this woman. I love her. I love everything about her. I've come to love and appreciate everything about her. I didn't as a young man. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Tonight, Kathy came home. She got a big sack in her arm. She goes, "Now, Mark, I got some really good deals." I said, "Where'd you go?" "I went to Goodwill. And I got some really neat little shirts for the kids, and I got a couple little books. Look at these books. Look like they've never been used, Mark. I bet they were $8 each, and they were 25 cents. I love that woman. That's how my wife is able to spread the limited amount we have among 10 grandchildren. That's where she shops. Oh, and then she pulls out of the bag, "Oh, and if it's okay, I got a couple blouses for myself at Goodwill." I'm not saying you have to go there all that. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, wow, we're family. See, that's how family. I grew up with six kids. I was oldest of six. Man, today, it's like, are you kidding me? Every child needs to have their own room. How could I possibly be fulfilled if I didn't have my own room? Now, I was sleeping for a while with three brothers, you know, three of us in a room. We've got to step back and recognize slowly we're like the frog in the kettle. You take a frog, you put him in cold water, you slowly boil him, and he'll just stay there, and then he fries to death. We're family, and the church is like a family. Now, listen to this. The best family is a loving family, not a rich one. It is a family where we love each other and serve one another and encourage one another. Kathy and I raised four kids. For a time, we lived with three of those children. Before Michael was born, he's a native Minnesotan. And the two of us, so three children, two of us, in 540-square-foot trailer. Paid $73 a month, lot for rent for it. It's one of the reasons I'm so content. When Michael was singing tonight the song he wrote about how if I could see how these trials are making me grow and mature, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't trade those years in that trailer for anything because, wow, did we learn contentment. Wow, did we learn how good we've got it. And what a joy it is to even have air conditioning. You know, we just drive the cars. When I grew up with six kids, we never had an air-conditioned car. And often, someone was trying to lay in the back of the window, you know, and some of us were fighting to lay in the little big hump area right here, and then the three kids would all try to curl up in the seat. That's just the way it was. And I'm not saying, again, we want to do that. Praise God, we have seat belts to keep kids from getting hurt when they hit something. But we need to start thinking of the church as like a family. We're here to love and encourage each other. We self-sabotage our church experience, our small group experience, our relationship experience by our unrealistic expectations and our failure to do what God asks us to do for each other. And again, I'm going to get to that in a moment. The great relationship killer, unrealistic expectations that you never realize, that you think are realistic and you have a right to. Now I'm going to get real personal. I almost destroyed my marriage. I've been married 37 and a half years. When Kathy and I first got married, we were Christians. I love the Lord. She loved the Lord. I'm reading my Bible. But my hard drive had an infection. I had a virus. I was a young man. I'd only been following the Lord about 4 years. And before I started following the Lord, I sowed a lot of bad, lustful, immoral thoughts. When I got married, I thought, this is going to be wonderful. I will be able to find fulfillment now. I have all these expectations on what our physical intimacy is going to be. I'm a very vivid imaginating guy. And as I'm driving home from work, I'm thinking about what's going to happen. It never happened. Never happened. For months and months, like I saw in my mind. And I got angrier and angrier and angrier. To the point that I was full of resentment and full of rage that my expectations are not being met. You're failing me. This isn't what I signed up for. My marriage in heaven feels like hell. Why? Why? Because of her? Because of me. My selfishness, my godless, unrealistic expectations that I thought were realistic and I had a right to. And I'm being really honest with you. I owe Kathy my life. I owe her my life. And almost destroyed our lives and our this beautiful thing that God gave me because I wanted what I wanted and I thought I had a right to it. All the time, I really wanted to follow God. I really loved God. I didn't know the first thing about love. I didn't know the first thing about what it really means to love like 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. I had no idea. And to be honest with you, the marriage ebbed and flowed for about 3 years. The first year is really tough. Our honeymoon was a disaster. The next 2 years after that first were, you know, a little progress. But finally, in year three, God brought me to a point of unbelievable brokenness. I mean, he smacked me down. You want to talk about a holy smackdown? Whenever The Rock talks about a smackdown, you know, the wrestler, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson now, the movie star, bam, going to smack down. Sometimes I'm telling you right now, we need God to smack us down in love. He always does it in love. And he smacked me down and brought me to the lowest point I'd ever been in my life. And then he exposed, he just kind of pulled back the covers on the wretchedness of my own desires in my heart. And he broke my soul. And I've never been the same since. And next week, we're going to get into that because I'm going to do a series called Loved by God. And I'm going to talk to you about how the love of God changed my life and can change yours. But it started with my recognition that I had no right to these expectations and they were completely unrealistic. Here's illustrations of self-sabotage. For those of you who don't understand the word sabotage, we want to get up and have time with God in the morning, but we keep staying up every night too late at night, making us drag and tired in the morning. That's self-sabotaging your time with God. We want to have a healthy teeth, so we brush and we floss and we fluoride, but we keep drinking Pepsi every single day, which ruins your teeth. Did you know that carbonated drink ruins your teeth? Ask your dentist. It's bad for your teeth. It's self-sabotaging. We're tired of being broke and never having money for an emergency, but we keep eating out for lunch and buying a Starbucks 5 days a week instead of saving the $5 a day. $5 a day times 30 days is $150. Start putting that in your savings. See what happens. Did you know that almost 60% of Americans cannot handle on their own a $1,000 emergency? They can't handle it. They have to use a credit card. That's not a good way to be, my friends. That's not a good way to be. And we need to learn to step back and go, wait a minute, I'm self-sabotaging my efforts. We want to be closer to others, believers, right? But we never share with them our own personal struggles or share openly about our life. We just hide. We just hide. My gosh, you got to learn to talk to people. Get off the Facebook for a while. Get off the texting and sit with another brother in Christ, if you're a brother, or sister, if you're a sister, and share what's going on and ask them to pray for you. And ask them if they have any insights. Maybe they've struggled with the same thing. You'd be surprised at how much fellowship begins to happen when we're honest. And Christians, we just pretend. We'd rather have fake book friends than real ones. And let me tell you, to be honest, some of us don't realize that our whole world revolves around being liked enough. That's why they're called likes. And we get a rush. Did you know what I read? You know, you want to know the latest factoid by touring agencies? So businesses, understand this. They really try to figure out what makes millennials tick. Many of you here are millennials. Guess what they found? Guess what travel agencies discovered? They discovered that the number one reason millennials want to travel to places overseas is so they can post the pictures on their Facebook and be one up on their friends. That's what they found. Now, you may say, oh, that ain't me. Maybe it's not, but it's a lot. I can't even get my hands around that. Friends, I cannot get my hands around that. But I'm going to go drop $6,000 to go, you know, on a safari to Africa so I can stand there, my friends. Hey, here I am. You didn't get to do this, but I did. Oh, like. And I feel so good about myself. Is that what it's come to? That we feel good about ourselves? You know, my daughter today, let me just tell you, my good feelings come from God, not from how I look. My daughter sent me a photo today. She goes, "Dad, this is from our wedding just 3 years ago." She said, "And I'm going to frame it." I said, "Please don't, Jesse." She said, "Why?" I said, "Because I have the ugliest face. I mean, you look at me from the side, Jessica. Look at the marks on my face, the wrinkle. That's pathetic. Please." People have asked me, "Mark, how come you don't know more video?" Because I have a face made for radio, not TV. I can be honest about that. I take horrible pictures. I am not a handsome, photogenic man, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. If I told you stories of what psychologists and surgeons are finding out, I won't even tell you what people are going in to get changed on their body all because of Facebook and they'll look better on a selfie. And that's not a lie. What has happened to us, people? What is happening to us is we're losing touch with what's real and what really matters. You know, think about this for a moment. You say you don't have any close friends, but you don't reach out in love to others and put them first. You simply wait around for others to reach out to you. You don't want to love others as you love yourself. You're expecting others to love you as they love themselves, which is the exact opposite of the Bible. Now, we're going to get to the verse, and then we're going to give you a little assignment, okay? Going to give you a little assignment. Listen to this passage of Scripture. I got my Bible here, but I want to read it from the Amplified Bible. This is Galatians chapter 5, 13 and 15, and I'd like you to think about this passage this week, all right? I'd like you to review this passage in your own time with the Lord. Do it a couple days this week. I want you to think about it. Listen, this is Scripture. "For you, my brothers and sisters, were called to freedom." We were singing tonight. Wow, I'm no longer a slave. I'm free. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean I'm free? I'm free to post anything I want. I'm free to shoot my mouth off and say whatever hurtful thing I want because, you know, it's my right. Listen to what this says. This is so profound. This will change your marriage, your life, your roommate. This changed everything. "You were called to freedom, only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature and worldliness and selfishness in your life, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another." Serve one another. "For the whole law concerning human relationships is fulfilled in one command. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. But if you bite and devour one another in bickering and strife, watch out that you, along with your entire fellowship, are not consumed and destroyed." Oh, brother and sister, I pray to God that this just weighs in a really good way on your mind and on your heart. This is revolutionary. This is what changed my life with Kathy. Now, I'm being really honest with you. I am not lying. I am not a perfect man. I have flaws and I make mistakes. But I want to tell you that I sincerely get out of my bed. I sleep in a little cot. And I sleep there simply because my wife has health issues and I cough and I toss and turn and I get to go to the bathroom about 8 times a night. I checked. I'm okay. I just have to go to the bathroom a lot. In case you were worried. So I sleep in a room right beside hers on a little cot. And I get out of that bed, usually every morning at 3:15, and I get out of that bed with one thing on my mind. I'm going to get up this day, I'm going to meet with my Savior, I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to serve others because I love them, And the number one person is that girl. And so the other day, well, I was cleaning her toilets, and then I took the shower curtain down, and I'm like, I think she liked this wash, so I washed it. I don't really care if it's washed or not, but she'd like it washed. I took the shower head down and thought, you know, I should CLR that thing out because it'll probably spray better. So I did that. You know, I think her van needs full of gas. You know, I think I'll grab the vacuum and vacuum the floor. Hey, I should check the trash. Hey, I think I should go get her some mangoes. She loves mangoes, and they have them at Aldi. They're 49 cents each. They're really soft. She likes those. I'll get some of those. That's what's on my mind. That's the truth. It's a habit now. It's a habit of life. It's a way of life. My grandchildren, I serve my children. I wrote Jeremy, say, hey, Jeremy, tomorrow morning, you think around 9:30? I thought I'd come over and change your oil. I'm going to bring all this stuff. I just put it in my trunk. I put my little jacket under. I lay down on your pavement. I change it. I put in $38 oil that lasts an entire year. How about that? Then we only do it one time. How can I serve? This is the call of God on our life. Serve one another through love. Serve your spouse because you love them, because you love Christ. Serve your children. Serve. Wow, you want to know where vigor and refreshment comes from? From a properly motivated life of service. But motive is everything. Motive is everything. I ain't doing this to be liked. See, because some people spit in my eye anyway, if I can be really frank. Some people that I have served and loved and even led to Christ have ended up, I was going to write a book. I was going to write a book. I'm not, but I was going to write a book. Here's the title. Dogs bark, sheep bite. Where did I get that? The Bible. Paul writes, watch out that you don't bite one another to pieces. Sheep bite. And let me tell you, I've been bit really hard. I've been bit hard enough that it made me cry all summer long. People that I love that turn on you and accuse you of all kinds of things, and all you did was lay down your life for them. Listen, if they kill Jesus, there'll be some people that'll try to kill you with words. It's the way it is. And here I am, 30 years into this pastoring, I'm still going at it. Why? Because I love my Savior. Listen to what the Living Bible puts it this way. I love this. For dear brothers, you've been given freedom. Not freedom to do wrong or whatever you want, but freedom to love and serve others, each other. He's talking about in the church now, not out there in the world. That's another story for another time. The church, the people of Jesus. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love others as you love yourself. But if instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always critical and catty, watch out. Beware of ruining each other's life. Wow, brother and sister, listen. The criticism's got to stop. Criticizing your brother, criticizing your sister, criticizing your small group leader, criticize, dive in and make them successful. When will we learn the life of Christ is to lay aside our own self-interest and lay down our life for each other? Man, I want to tell you something else. You want to know why? I was at a service not too long ago, it was not around here, and they were singing, oh, Holy Spirit, just come down on me, just come down on me, come down on me. And I was thinking in the back, I wanted to stand up and go, he's already on you. What's your problem? I got him. You want him? I'll tell you how to get him. Lay your life down for people, and you'll feel and experience the power of God and the joy of God when your motivation is right. When your motivation isn't right, you become exhausted. It'll wear you out. And you'll walk away going, everyone took advantage of me. I served God and I laid down my life for people. And all they did was take advantage of me. Well, hey, what did they do to Jesus? They killed him. What did the church in Galatians do with Paul? They turned against him. What did the Corinthians church do? They turned against him. That's why he's having to write letters and defend himself. Wow, how do you think that would feel? I lay my life down. I get beaten outside the city. They tie me up. They whip me. They beat me with rods. I walk back in, and I try to share, help you guys follow God, and now you're turning on me. Wow, this is a beautiful thing. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. If I'm poured out on the sacrifice and service of your faith, what is that to me? If I love you more and you love me the less, what is that to me? I will gladly do it. That's the power of God. That's the experience of God. Here's the assignment. Number one, each week on your way to this church service or your small group, okay, or your house church, but each week, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take 3 to 4 minutes in the car drive. Many of you families, you're doing this. Kathy and I do this every week. Every week we're driving up Cedar Avenue from Eagan right to here. We take 3 to 4 minutes. Pray that God would speak to people that night at the service. Pray that God would help the school of rock workers. Pray that God would work in the lives of little children. Pray that God would bless the musicians and give them strength. They just come from work. They have all kinds of trials, and they're up here serving us. It's easy to forget that, isn't it? Like, wow, maybe work was really bad. It was. I know some of the musicians' lives personally, some of the things they're going through, and they're here laying their lives down for us. Pray for them. Pray that God would speak to your heart and give you a soft, teachable heart to hear what God has to say, that you would learn what God wants to speak to you that night, that God would use you this night to bless someone, encourage someone, and meet a need in someone's life. You probably see me back there, but it's not a put-on. I love you guys, and I try to give as many of you a greeting or warmth and call you by name because you mean a great deal to me. You're God's children. You're God's body. Number two. This one will take a little more time on your own. I'd like you to take some time to think through any self-sabotaging attitudes and thought patterns or unrealistic expectations that you are having currently on others in your church or in the church itself. Identify them, throw them out, and develop a Galatians 5, 13 through 15 mindset, perspective, and habit of living and thinking. Can you do that? Your two assignments. Pray on your way to the service, 3 to 4 minutes. If you're alone, pray out loud. Lord, I'm driving around. Turn the phone off. Don't text and drive. It's illegal. And you could kill somebody, and it's as bad as drunk driving. Trust me, that's a fact. And take a little time and pray. Then take some time, if you would, this weekend, and think through, Lord, I want to step back. Where are the unrealistic expectations that I've been having? Hey, it might be I'm going to end with a really silly one. So when I started working out almost 30 years ago, you know what I was hoping for? I was hoping to look like Andy Coe, who's now sort of related to me, Lauren's husband, right? Now, I won't have Andy show you his shirt. Well, Mark Whitmer, have you seen Mark's abs? Go to Mark Whitmer on Google, and you will see the new improved version of Mark Darling that my daughter married. Mark Whitmer, you will see his competition at the Ninja Warrior competition, and you'll see his footage, and you'll look at his stomach. So I started doing crunchies, right? I do a minute of planks every day. I've been doing it for 30 years, and I'm sorry to say, even though I'm 143 pounds, I can still grab something here. And about 10 years ago, up until about 10, it was really bugging the heck out of me. I was frustrated like crazy until one day I thought, you know what? Who cares? I'm fit for life, and I'm 60 years old. I'm 50 then, so who cares? I'm me. Okay, Lord? It was an unrealistic expectation. And then I started doing some reading about genetics, how it affects your abs. You don't want to know. Just quit trying. Don't buy that crazy stuff. Don't think, here, this little pill will target the gut. It's a lie. It's a lie. Liposuction, it'll last for about a month. And then all the little fat cells they'll come back to what you just paid for to get rid of. Thank you. That was free information. Okay. So we're going to pray, okay? We're going to pray. Thank you very much for coming tonight. I'd love to say hello to you out in the hall. Next week, we'll get into the series, Loved by God, okay? We're going to dive into the love of God. What is it? What does it mean? Father, man, Lord, I bless you for Jesus Christ. I bless you for Christianity. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. The most wonderful thing in the world is the life of Christ living in us and the principles of God in the Word of God, the Holy Book. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these children. They're so attentive. Man, we got the best kids, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the parents that love them and are training them and are exemplifying, striving to exemplify Jesus. Thank you for our single young men and women and the holy lives that they're striving to live. Give them grace, Lord. We live in a godless world. Give each of us grace. Empower us, Lord, to live out Galatians 5, 13 through 15 in Jesus' name. Amen. God.